Sean Green joins us on Sports Byline. Played 14 Major League Baseball seasons. He played with the Blue Jays, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Mets, and he had 328 home runs. And now retired, he has a wonderful book out called The Way of Baseball, Finding Stillness at 95 Miles Per Hour. I'm interested in the title, Sean. Can you explain it a little bit further, especially the Finding Stillness at 95 Miles Per Hour?
Yeah, the Finding Stillness part is, you know, that's kind of the favorite part of the title, but, you know, the Way of Baseball kind of makes it a little more clear for people to know exactly what it's about. So that's why I went with that for the main title. But, the Stillness at 95 is really, I think, something that'll grab people's attention because it's the book's about, you know, finding a meditation in life. And for me, it happened in baseball through my work at the batting tee, and that extended on to the carried over into the games and into my life off the field as well.
Is it fair to say that if you had not been able to find that stillness, that you may not have had as a fulfilling career as you did?
I would definitely say that I would have been a good major league player, but I don't think I would have reached the heights that I did. I got off to a pretty good start where I was, you know, hitting in the 280s, but only, you know, 15 some odd home runs a year. But I think this work that I was doing off the tee kind of opened up that creative energy and took my mind out of trying to analyze the hitting, and a lot of the answers came to me that really revamped my whole approach at the plate, and that's when I started developing power.
You know, I've known a lot of professional baseball players. Some have had short careers, others have had long careers, and I'm just wondering, does it get to a point where a player during the course of playing in the majors comes to understand what his career may be like and how long it may be?
That's a good question. I think everyone's different, and there's guys who could play for a really long time that decide to leave early, and I definitely left earlier. I had some great opportunities to keep going, but you know, I was my passion for the lifestyle changed, and that's really based on my family. I have two daughters and a great wife, and I it was getting harder and harder to leave them for road trips and to juggle our lives around all over the country. When they got to be school age, I wanted to have them at home in one place and live that kind of life. Whereas other people, for their situation, it works just fine to keep moving and keep going. You know, it's the type of thing where everyone's different. I think if you have the ability to keep going, or at least are healthy and continue playing, then it just becomes a matter of if that's what you want to do with your life, or you know, you're never going to be able to perform at your best if you don't have your whole heart in it.
I think one of the things that we both know is that labeling goes on in professional sports. Depending upon where you're drafted, you'll get a particular label. How long you're in the minors gets you a label as well. And for you, with the Toronto Blue Jays, I know you were labeled a slow starter and also an inconsistent hitter in the early part of your career. What brought that label on?
Well, the slow starter was my first couple years. I was hitting probably in the 220s around there at the All-Star break, and both years I ended up in the 280s. So I was really slow out of the gates. I think part of it was because I have a longer swing as a tall guy with long arms and long legs. It tends to be a little more challenging to get all those pieces on time, you know, early in the year. And I think if you look at a lot of the bigger guys, the guys that have the burden of hitting the home runs and driving in the runs, a lot of them get off to slow starts. The shorter guys with the shorter arms seem to have those swings that are, you know, they could kind of fall out of bed and hit first day of the season right on. But, so for me, I was a slow starter and you know, a little inconsistent. And the inconsistency, I don't think, completely changed as I developed as a player, but I think my approach to hitting was more just to focus on the work and on the routine and let the highs and lows come and go and not, try not to get too caught up in it.
Did it have to do with anything with the fact that you were playing in baseball's outpost, which was north of the border?
Yeah, I mean, I loved playing in Toronto. It was a great place. The toughest thing about playing there was we were looking up at a very tough AL East. You know, back then the Orioles were really good with Ripken and Palmeiro and Brady Anderson. Robbie Alomar. You know, there's that whole squad that we were dealing with. And then, of course, the Yankees started coming on, winning all the World Series in the late 90s, and the Red Sox were right there behind them. So that was the hardest part. But as far as a place to play, we had great guys, talent, a tremendous farm system. I think a lot of people don't realize that even today the Blue Jays have the most players in the major leagues that they developed. Guys like we had Chris Carpenter, Roy Halladay, Kelvin Escobar. And we had these guys that weren't only, you know, making it to the major leagues out of the draft. They were, you know, All-Stars, Cy Young Award winners, future Hall of Famers. So there's a lot of credit goes to that organization.
Let me quote from the book, because really kind of a launching point for you and the rest of your career was, as you talked about, hitting the ball off the tee in the batting cage. You say, "I began to notice the sound of the ball swishing against the back net like a perfectly shot basketball. My breathing became rhythmic, inhaling as I put the ball on the tee, holding my breath as I got in my stance, and exhaling as I took my swing." You know, it's poetic, but was it that deep for you, that meaningful for you?
It was. I'd say from the time I was a senior, when I read Zen and Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, the Eastern philosophies really struck a chord with me, and I began an informal practice, an informal study of it, and I worked with a Qigong instructor on meditation and some other types of meditation. I started doing yoga back in the late 90s before it was really in vogue in sports to do that type of stuff. And, I was aware enough and had, you know, enough of a novice background in meditation, those things, to start to feel those same types of sensations. Like there's, for example, the taste in your mouth changed a little bit when you kind of get into that state. And I started to notice those things when I was doing my work off the tee. And I realized, you know what, I'm a baseball player. Why not make my meditation this work of the tee every day? And as I did that, everything flourished from that point on.
One thing I know about baseball players, probably more than any other sport, Sean, you know, they're superstitious. They tend to do the same things the same way if they're going well, or they'll change their socks if they're not going well. Did this fall into the superstition category, or did you kind of keep this to yourself so nobody else knew what you were thinking and doing?
Well, you know, a lot of guys, everyone has their preparation, so there's a difference. There's routine and then there's superstition. I look at this definitely as routine. Superstition I see is going to eat chicken every day like Wade Boggs did or something like that, or, you know, wearing the same socks as you mentioned. But even Nomar Garciaparra's, his antics before and after each pitch with the batting gloves and the toes and all that, I don't even really put that into the superstition category, because that's a routine. It's a rhythm, and baseball is such a hard thing to hit. It's even when I watch games today, you almost forget how hard it is. And I thought I would never forget, but you sit there and watch on TV, it looks a lot easier. So I think guys want to have some routine to kind of get them that same feel, to try to sort of control something that's really not as controllable as one might think. I mean, you can control the type of swings you take. That's why I love the batting tee, because there's the ball's the same every time, it's not moving. But as soon as the pitcher's throwing the ball, every pitch is different, every situation is different, and it's tough. You're going to fail. The best hitters fail 7 out of 10 times. It's very tough, and I think that the more routines guys have, they kind of have a sense of taking ownership of everything.
What is that thin line when it comes to hitting a baseball, Sean, between, you know, the old adage is KISS, keep it simple, stupid, and overthinking it? I've always been fascinated in that. And I remember Mark McGwire telling me one time his philosophy when it came to hitting the baseball was see it and hit it. Ted Williams told me the same thing. Tony Gwynn told me the same thing. But is there a philosophy? Is there a thought process, but you don't want to overthink it?
Without a doubt, and you know, when you're in the box in the game, you want to be completely out of your head, and that's really what my book is saying. It sounds like it's very analytical from the way when we discuss it, but it's really the opposite. It's creating tools to not think and to go up there and become more of a flow in the action of hitting, rather than be up there with your mind thinking things and, okay, he's going to throw me this pitch, or I got to do this, I got to move my hand, and just to really just be present in what you're doing. And that's, in essence, what a guy like McGuire, some of those other guys are saying is, you got to really, the more you can really be up there seeing the ball and be present, the better chance you have. And that's the simplest thing you can do.
We're talking with Sean Green, 14 years in the major leagues. He's written a wonderful book. I hope you'll check it out. It's called The Way of Baseball, Finding Stillness at 95 Miles Per Hour. We're going to make it a selection of the month on the Sports Byline USA Book Corner, and we'll continue talking to him about his career in the book as we continue on Sports Byline.